the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Happy
Hello.
Monday.
Hey, good morning.
And
9/11. So let's remember those who perished in that sorrowful attack that happened 22 years ago.
Indeed.
I don't mean to open up with somewhat of a downer, but it's true. It's a moment in history that we shouldn't forget.
No, indeed.
And in doing so, we always like to start our show with a prayer. So on this Monday morning, we'll do that in honor of St. Cyprian. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Cyprian, holy saint of miracles, hear my earnest petition. Grant me a blessing that I may never forget your generous graces. Help me through this challenging time and provide the divine intervention I seek. Intercede in my matters to bring about this desired result effectively and efficiently and quickly. Let your mighty powers testify faith to give me courage in times like these. May I be ever grateful for the blessings you bestow upon me. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but we are starting off with some events in our listening area. We will give you details about that's coming up at 10 after. And all of the events we talk about today can be found on our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He is a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, he joins us for a very entertaining segment, I have to say. I always look forward to his segments on raising Catholic teens in today's world. So we're always looking forward to hearing from Alan. In 35 minutes, Dr. David Whitten joins us in our Baton Rouge studio. He's a professor of theology over at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, also known as FRANU. He'll be giving us their monthly update. And in 48 minutes, James Behan joins us. He's a director of youth and young adult ministry in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and he's going to be talking about his experience at World Youth Day and, of course, some updates from the Archdiocese Youth and Young Adult Ministry. And they are very busy, so if you know of a young adult or like a young adult, then this is the segment for you to tune into so they can be a part of a wonderful faith community over in the Archdiocese. So looking forward to today's show. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. What do you
think? Well, okay. I hope y'all had a good time over the weekend. It was pretty nice, to say the least.
Yeah.
Weather held up for football, for sure, for all those who went tailgating. Saints won yesterday. That in itself makes you happy to some degree, unless you're a Titans fan.
Right.
Sorry to say, you should live in Tennessee if that's the case. Today, plenty of sunshine, though. High 96, winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10. No rain in the forecast. We have a low tonight of 72. Kind of getting back down to normal. Those evenings are starting to get really comfortable again.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, pretty much the same thing as today, except we have about a 15% chance of a stray shower popping up here and there. Sort of like David Dawson. You just never know what might happen. 15%
chance.
15%. He may pop up where you are. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Cool spot, Covington, 68 degrees. When's the last time we said that for a morning?
68?
68.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
Yes.
New Orleans, it's 69. Over in Houma Thibodeau, 71. Gulfport is the warm spot. It's 73. And in Baton Rouge, it's also 69 degrees. So, hey, it's starting to get back down to normal again. Mm-hmm. I think this heat dome has finally left us. And we could thank God for that as well.
Indeed.
All right, folks, 5 after the hour. Just getting started on this week and this Monday on Wake Up.
Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 6. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
When we recognize, really recognize, that Jesus seeks our love, we discover the excitement of the beloved in the Song of Songs. Behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. Behold, there he stands, behind our wall, gazing in at the windows. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Also, in the context of today's gospel, Jesus comes to the synagogue to gather up his stray sheep. He is also the shepherd of Israel, foreseen by Ezekiel. "I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest," says the Lord God. "The lost sheep I will seek out, the strayed I will bring back, the injured I will bind up, the sick I will heal." Certainly everyone in the synagogue noticed the withered hand, but only Jesus is prepared to do something about it. St. Matthew tells us nothing about the service in progress. He concentrates solely on that hand, as if it was the only thing Jesus himself had noticed on entering. How could it be otherwise? The man's physical distress, which often symbolizes the human suffering in sin, together with his desire to come to the synagogue in prayer, constitutes a graphic embodiment of the psalmist's plea, "I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a lamb without water." He is like a sheep with a wounded paw. The text literally tells us the man's hand was dry. That is, it had the characteristics of a dead branch blocked from the life-giving sap of the tree. Now Jesus, who is the true source of life that gives the sap that restores humans physically and spiritually, comes to the rescue. Unlike the sad-faced, critical scribes and Pharisees, the man with the restored hand can now praise God with the psalmist. "Happy the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked. He is like a tree planted near running water." Well, how thankful are we when Jesus heals us? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy and Father Chris. And yes, we hope you do have a wonderful day. And it's always good to get it started off when tuning your heart to the truth here on Catholic Community Radio. Time to share with you some events. And in particular, St. Anselm's Golf Classic will be held November 6th at Beauchesne Country Club in Mandeville. It will be a four-man scramble with an 11 a.m. shotgun start, $125 a person. That includes green fees, lunch, drinks, and dinner. So they're going to take care of you throughout the day. And the St. Anselm Family Fun Day is also coming up. That's October 29th, right before Halloween. That's going to be from 11 to 2:30 in the afternoon, beginning that day with Mass, followed by family fun and fellowship. There's also going to be food, games, a bouncy blow-up for the kids, contest, and much, much more. If you'd like more information, you can just go to ccmedia.live. St. Anselm, by the way, is located on St. Mary Street in Madisonville.
I'm all about the bouncy blow-up.
Oh, okay. We'll put it on your calendar.
don't know what they are, but I like the name.
Like a spacewalk? Like
I thought something blew up. All right. Born to Run in Baton Rouge will be November the 4th, beginning at Town Square on North Boulevard in downtown Baton Rouge. There'll be a 5K and half mile fun run, and all proceeds benefit the Women's New Life Clinic. And you can get details at ccmedia.live. And I hear they have a killer DJ.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
they
just
do.
Saying. Yeah.
Jeff Blackwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Blackwell. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Jeff Tequila
fabulous.
Blackwell will be there. All right.
Well, the Community of Jesus Crucified is hosting a Come and See discernment program on September 25th and 26th. Young women between the ages of 19 and 36 are invited to learn more about the Community of Jesus Crucified Sister Servants. You must register in order to attend. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
And Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Church in Baton Rouge will be having their Mercy Classic Tennis and Pickleball Tournament next week, by the way. It's actually the 15th through the 17th, this weekend coming up. And it's going to be at Bocage Racquet Club. To sign up, and or if you want to sponsor an event, go to olomchurch.com, and you could do that, or you can go to ccmedia.live if you couldn't quite catch everything I just said.
St. Alphonsus in Greenville Springs is having their adult back-to-school dance Friday Night Lights on September 15th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. There'll be great music, and it's a great way to enjoy an evening with your significant other. And once again, go to ccmedia.live for more information.
That sounds like fun. There is a women's axe retreat coming up on September 21st through the 24th. The retreat will be held at the Cenacle on the Lake in Metairie, beginning at 5:45 p.m. on Thursday, September 21st. The retreat includes lodging, all meals and supplies, and will also conclude on Sunday, September 24th at 11 a.m. Mass at St. Catherine Siena in Metairie. A reception and celebration will follow. You can go to ccmedia.live and men save the date. The next Men's Axe Retreat will be on November 30th.
All righty. And the Sacrament of Reconciliation will be available to everyone at every Catholic church in the Archdiocese of New Orleans beginning September 13th from 5 to 6:30. That's coming Wednesday, okay? Mm-hmm. Examination of conscience for the young folks, young adults, and adults as well will be available in the area near the reconciliation rooms. If you happen to go to St. Catherine of Siena, they'll have that available for you there. For information about confession, including an examination of conscience that is available online, and you can do that by going to cscchurch.com. That's cscchurch.com. Big Al Migliorato's coming up. We're going to talk about how to discern what type of music your teen should be listening to and why on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for September 11th. Today we celebrate Saint Cyprian. Change and upheaval swirled around this 3rd century bishop who died a martyr. Cyprian lived at a time when persecution of the church was at a high point. In response, many Christians acted out of fear and lapsed in the practice of their faith by sacrificing to idols. In an effort to protect their lives, others claimed that they had done so. How and whether to reinstate those Christians became the burning question of the day. It caused great controversies, but also helped the church progress in its understanding of the sacrament of penance. Cyprian took a middle course. He proposed that those who had actually sacrificed to idols should receive the Eucharist only at death. As for those who had only claimed they had sacrificed, he recommended that they could return to the church after a period of penance. Because of his stance on how to handle heretics and schismatics, Cyprian fell out of favor with Pope Stephen I. The Bishop of Carthage was exiled by the emperor, but he refused to leave his city, insisting that the people should have the witness of his martyrdom. He died in 258. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Yeah, And welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Colado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and with us now, our regular on Monday morning, Big Al Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward Leadership Lessons for the Catholic Teen Today. And our topic is an interesting one, teaching our teens to use discretion when it comes to choosing what music they should listen to. And Al, let's jump right into it. How do we do that?
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, I heard that you guys woke up to pretty nice weather over there, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's still hot as heck over here in Florida.
Oh, still, huh?
Yeah. So music, right?
Yeah.
Think about teenagers, how influenced they are by the music they listen to. They're impulsive creatures. They're knee-jerk reactions, and they really get persuaded by the people that they're around, the community, the environment that they're in, the music they listen to. And some of it, is us being old. Some of it is
right.
Us just being old and going, those kids today, and kind of writing it off. And I think that we've done that since the beginning of time. Like when Elvis came out, and nobody wanted their kids listening to Elvis. Nobody wanted their kids listening to the Beatles or to pretty much to anything that was a culture-changing thing, in music. But there's some music today. Right? And I know I just said I sound like an old man when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I'm an old man. But there's some music today that really does cross the line of not just suggestive, but straight out blatant evil.
Yeah.
There's a recent video that came out, and I didn't even know what this was or who this was. Doja Cat. I don't know if you guys know who that.
Yes.
Gabby might know.
Gabby does.
Yes,
right?
Who that is.
I know, yeah. Doja Cat.
Yeah. So I thought they were saying Dojo Cat. I thought it was like a karate cat, And no, it's Doja Cat. So she has just come out with a video that's called Demons, and it. So my daughter, who's 26, texted me the other day, and I was at work, and she goes, "Dad, have you seen this video from Doja Cat?" I said, "First of all, who is Doja? What is a Doja Cat?" And so she explained it to me, and I said, "No, I have not." So she said, "She goes, well, don't watch it." She's like, "I'm going to have nightmares because of this." And of course, because my daughter told me don't do something, it's very much like my kids do to me. I had to instantly do what I said not to do. So I looked up this video, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, I felt gross after watching this video, and I know that as I'm saying this, people are going to look this up, but I promise you it's not worth looking up. If you trust the advice of somebody who's really got your best interest in mind, don't watch this. Don't let your kids listen to it. Don't let your kids look up the lyrics. I looked up the lyrics. Of course, I did all the things I'm telling you not to do because I work with teenagers, and it's so important to understand their culture and where they're coming from and the things that they're listening to and the references that they make. But as an adult, I would, even as a kid, I would not have listened to something like this or watched something like this. It's just probably one of the most evil things I've ever seen. And it's becoming more and more in our face. It's not even like, not that it was better when it was hidden from us, in years past, but there was an argument that you could make, well, it's not that bad. And it was just as bad, but now it's so much in our face that we can't ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Well, all bets are off. There's no limitations to anything just about, and that's the challenge. The music industry seems to care less. They just push it out there and hope somebody likes it. And, it's about the greenbacks. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, as a parent, how do you go about discussing that with your child? Because here's the thing. As a teen, that music is going to stay with them forever if they listen to it enough. And it becomes embedded in one's mind. And that's what Satan's looking for if he has the opportunity.
Right. Yeah, you can't unsee something. You can't unhear something.
Right.
So it's really, and there's things that really there's no way that you can avoid. Somebody could be listening to it in the car next to you with the music pumped up way high. So, like, there's really... you're going to hear something that you don't want to hear or see something that you don't want to see. So the test that we always challenge teens with is it building or breaking down the kingdom? And then just keep it at that. Is this building up the kingdom or breaking down the kingdom of God? Because there's other kingdoms out there that want to be built up. So is this building up? Are these lyrics building up the kingdom? Is this a song that we would sing in church? Or like a love song? If you replace, not nonsense. What's the one with Whoopi Goldberg? Where she's a nun.
Yeah, Sister Act.
Oh my gosh, I can't think. Sister Act. So when they sing My Guy, right, and they're talking about Jesus, can you replace like the person that they're singing to with the name of Jesus and have it be a sacred and holy sounding song. Because if there's anything that's, you know, contradictory or suggestive or, you know, sexually impure about a song and you put the name of Jesus in there and it just doesn't fit, maybe that's not the kind of music you should be listening to. And it's a challenge because there's some really great tunes out there with really horrible lyrics. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves humming along to them, you know? It's like, what did I just say? You know, what were the words that I just said? Take the music away and say the words. Would you say that to your priest, you know?
Right. So there's an emotional connection to music as well. And a good example is you mentioned a love song or something. It could bring good memories. It could bring sad memories. But there's an emotion tied to that. So what do we try to share with our children or teens in particular? How do you sit down with them and say, okay, what you're listening to is garbage versus just letting them find out on their own that eventually it may be garbage or they may even like it more?
Well, the first and I think most important thing that we can do as parents is check ourselves and the kind of music that we're listening to, because I like metal sometimes, you know. I like Metallica. Metallica would sing about the war. I also like AC/DC, but if I listen to the lyrics of a lot of the AC/DC songs, and you're singing along to them, it's like, mm-hmm. whoa, what did I just... I like the song, but what did I just say? And if I'm listening to that in my car and telling my kids not to listen to Doja Cat, but I'm listening to AC/DC Hell's Bells, then I'm just as much at fault. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably, honestly, I'm probably the subliminal reason that they're listening to this kind of stuff in the first place. So we've got to weed out our own garden as parents to set an example of what a garden should look like for our kids.
Okay, yeah. And a lot of those heavy metal bands, I never got into that. In fact, everybody here knows my motto, no AC, no DC. And think about it. No air conditioning, you won't have me there.
No Damien Collins.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Hey, but you know what? Let me ask you this, because music is being talked about in the educational world. In the world of academics, I know when I was going to high school, now I was a guinea pig, a human guinea pig to say the least, but they were piping in, you know, soft, mellow music while we were learning, even back then in high school, and I'm talking about the early 70s, now they're talking about doing the same thing where kids supposedly comprehend better when there's music being played. Now, I could see that maybe with math and writing, it can inspire you a little bit. I would think reading, not so much. What are your thoughts on that, or have you read much about that?
I haven't read much about that. I know that my daughter will listen to music while she's doing a homework assignment or writing a paper for college. And I'm always like, how do you do that? Like, I need silence or, you know, maybe some background noise or, you know, like sounds of a kitchen, you know, or cookies being baked. I just need something different. But I think everyone's different when it comes to that. But either way, like, think about what you're listening to. I know for babies, like Einstein, they had these videos where they would play, like, you know, that classical music, and kids, showed an improvement in the, you know, neural pathways of their learning. But I think for adults and for teenagers too, like, we've got to start listening to what we're listening to, so that we can stop listening to what we don't need to be listening to. I know that sounds really like a whole mouthful of words there, but we just got to be careful. You know, if Jesus was sitting next to you, would you do what you're doing right now? And if the answer is no, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all, because he's always next to you. So that's how we discern music, you know, and we discern everything in life with that.
Yeah. That was your version of Shakespeare, right? Listening to to be or not to be, that's the question. One last question, okay, and bottom line is, music is good, in my opinion. It can inspire people, it can get you fired up. I mean, you go to a football game, you know, boom, there it is, and that kind of stuff. And so my thing is, as a parent, you just have to be able to channel it properly, and allow your child to open up, but make sure they don't go off on the deep end. And to me, that's difficult, because you don't have access to some of the things that they have access to in today's world. I mean, at home, you can control it. The minute they leave and they get in a car or they go to a friend's house, all bets are off, unless you instill Christ as a foundation. And like you said, if you insert the word Jesus in the song, would it be pliable and good? I like that concept. I think that's a good suggestion. Any others before we wrap up?
Not really. I just want to say, like, music is neither good nor bad, but, mm-hmm. you know, like, it depends on what we do with that music. Because, you know, King David sang psalms. All the psalms are musical. There's a rhythm to the psalms. So, like, it's used to praise God, it's great. If it's used not to praise God, we've got to listen to what we're listening to. And it doesn't mean everything has to be a religious song, but just think about the words that are being said in the song before you, like, buy the album.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Well, I like George Strait. Who do you like?
Louis Prima. Like, that's, you know, I like all right. songs.
Yeah,
bro.
Louis.
Yeah. Oh, Marie.
Yeah, you oh, got Marie. Him started.
All right, don't get me going. I'll be singing his best hits before the show's over with. Alan Migliorato, as always, Paisan, thank you for being with us on Wake Up. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, God bless, guys.
All right, have a good one. And how about you, Big D?
Who? What do I like?
Yeah.
I like Bach.
Oh, my goodness. And Gabby?
You guys, I'm a Swiftie, and you know it, so
oh, yeah,
I'm all about
right.
it, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, at least you know what we like, and we hope you like us still. We'll be back in a minute on Wake Up.
Thirty-five past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And in studio right now, we have Dr. David Whidden. He's professor of theology at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, or FRANU, because it's a lot easier to say, here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey,
good
welcome
morning.
Back.
Always glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about the goings-on at FRANU.
It's been a great fall so far. We've
yeah.
got a lot of good things that have been happening here. One, we opened our new building, St. Francis Hall.
It is gorgeous.
Okay, good. It's really amazing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
I had a student walk through over the summer, and she said, you know, my sister goes to LSU. She says they have nothing like this. It's really a the way we've been talking about this building is that it's sort of an exterior manifestation of the interior work that we've been doing for so many years, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just the view from the street speaks volumes, right?
Right, absolutely. Because yeah. if you're driving in the right way, the first thing you see is this big window with this amazing crucifix.
Uh-huh.
I think we've got the best crucifix in the diocese, quite frankly.
It's big.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's yeah, and it
it's
is
a,
beautiful.
It's a replica of the San Damiano cross that Francis prayed in front of. It's mm-hmm. a 16-foot spectacular crucifix
yeah,
made in Germany.
Yeah.
So that's really at the heart. And that's the first thing you can really see and notice when you drive in. But, you know, in the Franciscan tradition, there's this really interesting discussion of light and illumination. You really see it in, like, St. Bonaventure, the Franciscan theologian. So we were really intentional about making it a building that was beautiful but simple at the same time.
Okay.
And that really drew this image of, like, a lot of natural light and illumination. So
the first thing I noticed when I walked in the doors.
Right.
I mean, it's just very bright, but it's all daylight.
It's all natural light for the most part. And so it's sort of welcoming in that sense. You know, the one of the verses that we talked about when we did our grand opening, we had an opening mass that the bishop came from. Was this idea of hiding your light under a bushel, right? Those verses in Matthew that we're supposed to be a light to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's in education, if you've ever taught and you do something in the classroom, and every so often you literally will see, like, light bulbs go on over students' heads, like their eyes, like they click. And
they get it suddenly.
They get it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, we want to, if you will, illumine our students' minds.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that sort of interior work we're doing, but we also want to be a light to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just that the light comes in and it's really natural and welcoming, but then the light should also go out, right? This is sort of what makes it Franciscan, is this idea that it's a light that shines out in the community. And so it's not just, so, you know, again, like, some of our work for our students is to go and they do service learning throughout the community. So we really try and bring that light out into the community.
In a form of evangelization in the process.
Absolutely, right?
It's beautiful.
Our theology faculty, among others, will go out and they'll share that light with different parishes, if you've been to any of our talks.
I've seen that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that building's actually really is more than just a building. It's actually, in some sense, a sort of an icon of our mission of what we're supposed to be doing.
I mean, really, you're talking about your theology teachers going out, being part of the community. I mean, Dr. Pedraza himself, I mean, right?
He's amazing.
He's heading up the Eucharistic.
He's on the committee in D.C. that's leading up the Eucharistic Revival. Absolutely.
That building, I'm just thinking, y'all have done a wonderful job of tearing down the walls. In other words, there's walls, but they're glass.
Right.
And there's no barrier.
And
I get it now. My little light bulb just went off in the process. Yeah.
It's a little light bulb, but we'll take it.
Might need
I'm a little guy.
Yeah.
But that is the premise.
Right.
I see it now. Yeah,
As our Dr. Holland, who would normally be doing this session here, talks about, she says, it needs to be the kind of building that wouldn't make sense anywhere else,
mm-hmm.
right? That could only make sense in our kind of context and our kind of, and when you get into it, you sort of feel that, like it's just a different kind
of
place.
It's out of the norm.
And I should mention, right, we have Mass that's open to anybody on Wednesdays at 2:15. Listeners want to- 12:15 on Wednesday. So if any of the listeners here want to come to Mass on Wednesdays, they're welcome. They're just invited to come in and worship with us. Father Paul Counts comes and does that. So it's in that sense, it's meant to be for the community as well, mm-hmm. right? Because we've got this beautiful little chapel.
Mm-hmm.
So any of your listeners want to come and do that, we'd love to have them.
I can say that we had our Bishop Duca here, mm-hmm. Baton Rouge Bishop Duca, come in, and he was very excited about it. And then he was talking about the third floor
mm-hmm.
to where they're like real hospital rooms. Is that right? So, is that the third floor?
Did so I get second that right? and third floor. So half the building is basically on the second and third floor is what's called our simulated environment teaching hospital.
Okay.
And it's basically the second floor is the equivalent of an outpatient facility. So if you go in, you look like it, and it's like, oh, this looks like any sort of clinic room I've ever been in. And
really?
If you go to the third floor, it's basically an inpatient facility with a NICU, a labor and delivery room, surgical rooms. And what happens is our students, and the technology is amazing on this, can go in and practice their skills on these lifelike dummies.
I was wondering, how hands-on can you get?
It's amazing. Is like the you know, they in the labor and delivery room, they've got this dummy that can deliver, you know, she delivers 7 or 8 babies a day. She's
really
prolific.
Wow, that's a busy dummy.
But she can, that's what they say about me. They can change like what happens so that she can, you know.
Oh, we got a breach.
Yeah, right. They can do it. She can cuss in 7 different languages.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's that aspect I forgot about. Yeah.
Right. They can, with like in the surgical room, they can have the patient's code, or our nurse anesthetist can come in and they can, you know, give them a mix of the gases, and then maybe something goes wrong, so they can give them all these scenarios, and then they're recording it all, and then they go back and debrief and watch it and figure out what they did well, what they did wrong.
My goodness.
Well, it's a lot better than learning that on a live patient.
Exactly.
Right?
Wait, how can you tell if a mixture of gases goes wrong on a dummy?
Well, so they program it. So they program
it actually
a scenario.
It reads.
Yeah, so like it'll start coding.
Sound like a smarty.
But it's state of the art.
Well, talk about it.
It's really amazing. Goodness. So it's a great opportunity for our students.
Wow.
So the other thing that's coming up, we're also celebrating our 100th anniversary this year.
All right.
So we've got a big gala on October 5th, which is the feast day for St. Francis.
Yes, it is.
So that's going to be in this new building. And so the community is welcome to join that. If you go to our franu.edu website, you'll see a link down below that talks about our 100th anniversary.
You need to get tickets or anything?
You do need
event?
To get tickets.
Okay.
So,
and it's in the evening. And it's
in the evening on October 5th. So we're expecting to have 300 or 400 people there for that gala. So so the building really sort of is launching our next 100 years, and it's going to be a real centerpiece both for
our
education.
That is amazing.
And we hope for our community as well.
So 1923.
Those sisters founded the original nursing school.
Over there, where... Well, it's behind our state capital now, right?
That's why
on the lake.
Right, when there was actually a lake. Now we're just Our Lady on the Essen.
But. Our Lady, yeah. Our Lady of the Lake is a lot nicer than
Our Lady near the lake.
Our Lady near the interstate.
Right.
No, I mean, that's just amazing that it's been that around that long and that it is growing. But at the same time, the attitude there or the philosophy there is the part that I think is so amazing. Is you're talking about the whole person,
right?
The person that God created. In other words, you're coming spiritually healing just as well as physically healing.
And that's really important because, you know, one of the questions we always ask is like, what's the difference between a student who graduates from our university and who graduates from the other local universities?
Right.
And it's got to be that holistic, like, you know, not just that we're creating sort of economic widgets for the economy of Louisiana.
Sure.
But we're really forming whole people. John Paul II said something to the effect that the whole purpose of an education is to make a human being.
Yeah.
Right. And that's more than just somebody who goes out and works. Your education has to help not just you, not just your community, but it has to serve you the other, you know, 16 hours a day that you're not working.
I just love the idea of, you know, if I go in with a medical problem, this person is concerned about me, not just the issue.
They're not just treating you as a thinking meat sack.
Exactly. Right?
As a whole human being.
And I feel like that's how it's gone, you know. So to come around to the real person. You know.
You don't have to be Catholic to go to Ferengi.
Oh, no, no. Excuse me. I mean, we're going to be Catholic as an institution. That's who we are. But we know we welcome students from all faiths, but we're always going to be authentically Catholic in how we approach that. But part of that's the act of hospitality, which is deeply embedded in the Christian tradition.
Awesome. So. Dr. David Whitten, thank you for joining us again.
Always a pleasure.
All right. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. James Behan now joins us. James is a director of the Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, James. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Gabby. It's great to be on with you. And good morning, Damian and David.
Hey.
All right.
Good morning,
James.
Hey.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us, James. And, you know, some time has passed since your trip to Portugal for World Youth Day? Yeah. And
yes,
how did it go?
Gabby, it was an amazing, amazing experience. It's hard to believe it's been over a month since we touched back down here in New Orleans. But it feels like it was just last week. We brought a group of 20 young adults and priests and diocesan team members, along with my supervisor, the director of the Youth and Young Adult Ministry Office, Adrian Jackson. And we brought them on this 10-day pilgrimage from New Orleans. We landed in Madrid, took a bus into Lisbon, spent a day in Fatima. Wow. And then spent the most of the rest of the time in Lisbon for the World Youth Day celebration. And Fatima was spectacular. For so many people in our group, that was the reason why they were taking the trip, and World Youth Day was the icing on the cake.
Oh, wow.
so there were so many beautiful opportunities, stories of people whose lives and their spiritualities were centered around the Marian devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. And it was just, having gone to a number of Marian shrines, it's so beautiful to be in a space where our Blessed Mother has appeared. And for the folks that gathered there, it was a little taste of what they were going to expect the rest of the week, because there was a global mass that took place outdoors. And so one of the things about World Youth Day that's so special is it feels like the Olympics plus mass involved, where young adults and youth communities are waving their flags around and proudly supporting who they are and where they're from. At the same time, we all recognize that those flags and nations that we represent take second place to our the place of God and Christ in our lives. There was a Eucharistic miracle, or a miracle that was in the news a couple of days after we were in Fatima, of a young lady who was blind or had some significant vision loss, and then you received the Eucharist at that Mass in Fatima, and her sight was restored. So that was amazing to be an hour and a half away from a miracle, like we were in Lisbon.
Amazing. Can you kind of take us through the main part of World Youth Day? You know, we see the pictures, we've seen the just saturation of young adults in one area praying together. It is so powerful just to see those images, James. I can't imagine being a part of that and pretty much witnessing history.
Yes. Yes. It is spectacular to be around a million and a half people. We tend to think of maybe being in our parishes that are filled, and we feel really special about that. Or if we were there at the Superdome yesterday for a sold-out Saints game, we feel like 70,000 mm-hmm. people is a lot of people. Or even Saturday and Jazz Fest feels really full. But to be at the opening mass, they were saying there was about 800,000 people.
Wow.
When the Pope arrived on the Thursday of the time we were there, there was a million people. And then for the vigil, for the World Youth Day Mass that we spent out under the stars with the Pope, there was a million and a half people. And
gosh.
And just to keep seeing people walking and moving and gathering and seeing, you almost played world bingo of checking off all the countries that were being represented based on the flags. But it was just so gorgeous to be around the Holy Father. And for me, this was my fourth World Youth Day. So I've gotten to see St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, now Pope Francis, prompt and encourage and share his love and his hope for the future with the not only the future but the now of the church, of reminding us that we are not numbers, but we're names, that God knows us and calls us each by name, and to open our hearts to remind everybody that the church is for everyone. It's pretty spectacular to see the Pope that we normally see maybe on our social media accounts or on television or on pictures, but to have him, we were really lucky that he drove by us a couple of times in his Pope mobile. So just about the same distance that we would be watching a float go by at a Mardi Gras parade. There was Pope Francis in his Pope mobile waving, and that was just chills going up and down your spine. That is one of those core memories that will be there forever, and it was really just a blessing to be able to see that. And to share it with this group of young adults and colleagues from the Archdiocese in New Orleans.
Amazing. James, didn't he have a WQNO and WPYR bumper sticker on that Pope Mobile?
What a great idea.
I was waving one.
I was waving one trying to say, hey.
Oh, no, James. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we have about a minute. James, we have about a minute and a half left. We could have a conversation to continue to talk about your favorite memories and stuff, too. But I also want to talk about what your office is doing. Christ in the City, Theology on Tap. These are ways for young adults to gather together in the Archdiocese and talk about their faith and pray together. Real quick, can you tell us some events coming up?
Sure. Yes, yeah, Theology on Tap, that's in the pipe. Tomorrow, Tuesday, September 12th. On both shores of the Archdiocese, North Shore and South Shore, at 7 p.m., there'll be an opportunity for young adults to take part in Eucharistic Adoration. For the North Shore group, the Echo community is putting on their North Shore Holy Hour at St. Peter in Covington at 7 p.m., and then they'll have a social to follow. And then our office is hosting its monthly Christ in the City at St. Francis of Assisi in New Orleans at 7 p.m. So it'll be great that on either shore, you can spend time with Jesus tomorrow. On October 3rd, if you can't make it to tomorrow's, young adults come to Notre Dame Seminary on October 3rd, because Christ in the City will be there, and that's the one that Archbishop Amon presides at, and that's always a special opportunity to be able to gather as a community around our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament with our shepherd, with Archbishop Amon there, inspiring us and praying with us as well.
Amazing. I highly recommend being a part of Christ in the City. That was one of my favorite things as a young adult, to participate in those monthly prayer hours with different people and then socializing afterwards. Just a wonderful experience. Is there a calendar or a website people can go to take a look at maybe what dates fit their schedule and how they can participate more?
Yes, Gabby. NOLACatholic.org/YAM for Young Adult Ministry. So NOLACatholic.org/YAM. There'll also be a link with the World Youth Day stuff. We have a few pictures up on our website as well that people can see some of the sites that we saw while we were in Portugal as well.
Amazing. Definitely check that out. James, I enjoyed speaking with you today and getting that World Youth Day update. Thank you so much for being with us. James Behan, Director of the Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Gabby. Thanks, Deanna and David. Have a great day.
All right. God bless you, brother.
All right.
Boy, he must still be tired from all of that.
Oh, he sounds pretty active. Golly. No, I think he's moving forward. That's a man with a mission. I love it.
Ooh, that sounds like a lot of fun, though, that World Youth Day.
Well, we are going to finish up the show with a prayer to St. Cyprian, if we can, in the name of the Father, Son. Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Cyprian of Antioch, beacon of faith and hope, you who were murdered for your Christianity, remind us all to abide by God's divine power over our enemies. As such, I come before you on bended knee, asking for protection from those who seek to hurt me spiritually, physically, and psychologically. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.